Are you ready to head to the voting booth tomorrow? Last Thursday, three of the Democratic candidates for governor gathered for a debate hosted by WTTW. Here's J.B. Pritzker, State Senator Daniel Biss, and Chris Kennedy.
You haven't stood up for the middle class pensions. You've taken money away from neighborhood public schools to give it to charter schools. I mean, you're not who you say you are.
So listen, I'm not going to sit here and be lectured on who's a progressive by the guy who's storing money offshore to avoid taxes and profiting off the Dakota Access Pipeline. I'm not going to sit here.
Let me lecture you.
Well, we can talk later.
We'll do some last-minute fact-checking with Brian Mackey and Bob Sector with PolitiFact, and you'll get a chance to hear from seven of the candidates in their own words. Peoria County's Board of Election Commissioners Executive Director joins us to hear how they're preparing for tomorrow's vote and learn what your rights are in the voting booth with the Chicago Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. That's all coming up this hour on the 21st. Stay with us. We'll get started after the latest news. Welcome to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. Tomorrow, Illinois voters will pick Democratic and Republican candidates for elected offices all across Illinois. We've been focusing on the state attorney general and governor's campaigns, along with a few congressional House races. It's already been a long campaign season, and once the two major parties have picked their candidates, it'll be another 8 months or so until the November midterm elections. Even if you haven't been following the news, you've probably seen the ads. And in the case of the governor's primary, you probably have the candidates stop by your local community. Before you vote, whether it's later today or tomorrow on Election Day, we want to make sure you have all the information that you need. Later on in the hour, we're going to play a 15-minute compilation of our interviews with seven of the candidates for governor. We're also going to be taking your questions about voting rights. We've got a voting rights attorney that's going to be joining us. But first, we'd like to recap some of the week's news and do some last-minute fact-checking. We've been gathering your questions on social media, and we'll get to those. But if you have any other questions fact-checking for us right now, you can give us a call. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can also tweet to 21STShow. I'm joined now by Bob Sector. He's Director of Investigations at the Better Government Association. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the 21st.
Well, nice to be here.
Also on the line with us is Illinois Public Radio Statehouse reporter Brian Mackey. Hey, Brian, welcome back.
Hello, Nyla. Good to talk to you again.
Before we get to some of the few claims that we want to fact check, Brian, I thought we should start with some of the latest news around the governor's race. And on Thursday night, WTTW's Chicago Tonight hosted the final gubernatorial debate, this time with just three of the six Democratic candidates. That was J.B. Pritzker, Chris Kennedy, and State Senator Daniel Biss. More likely than not, one of these three will be the Democratic nominee for governor. Brian, what were the big themes and issues that the debate focused on?
Issues.
Exactly. I was going to say, there was a lot of bickering also that happened.
We're going to raise up the people of Illinois, Nyla, all of them. The big themes was attacks largely directed against J.B. Pritzker, who, of course, as I'm sure your listeners know by now, is the businessman and heir to the Hyatt Hotel fortune, who has billions of dollars in his name. And some of that, apparently, according to reporting by the Chicago Tribune, is set up in offshore bank accounts that were not like the ones he talks about, set up generations ago by his grandfather, but some that have been set up more recently and even seem to be investing in businesses that he has ties to in Chicago. So just raising questions that really brought out some very nasty attacks from some of his rivals for the nomination, like Chris Kennedy and Daniel Biss used terms like fraud and liar to describe Pritzker. And so it was just really just kind of getting pretty vicious toward the end of this campaign.
Yeah, it really was. And that Chicago Tribune investigation came out a day before the debate. We will tweet out links to that investigation for people to read it because it is very detailed. It found in part that J.B. Pritzker owns, as you were saying, Brian, several shell companies based outside the U.S., he's claimed before that he receives no financial benefit from any of these holdings. There's a lot of details in this piece that we're not going to be able to get to here, Brian. But I wonder what's important for voters to understand about this that you haven't mentioned yet already.
You know, you mean specifically about this particular aspect of the governor's campaign? I mean, it's that, I guess if I was going to say anything, it's that there's this is really complicated. It's really confusing. I'm sure if Pritzker is the nominee, you know, it's going to be because a lot of Democrats like the idea of countering who they assume the Republican nominee will be, Bruce Rauner, with somebody who has essentially limitless resources to spend, not only on his own campaign, but as Pritzker has said, electing Democrats up and down the state. And he was very careful about going to various county chairmen and local party organizations and building support, both, you know, with his promises of action as well as his promises of financial support for other candidates, if not necessarily using those words. But, I mean, that's what electing Democrats up and down the state means. So Democratic voters need to decide. Yes, it would probably be helpful from their standpoint to have somebody who has almost unlimited financial resources. But as with anyone who is extremely wealthy, you know, you sometimes have these questions about how they manage their money, you know, what sort of taxes they pay. And one imagines that this is, fertile campaign or fertile territory for the Republican Party to try and continue to mine heading into the general election,
right,
if Pritzker is the nominee.
You mentioned finances. J.B. Pritzker has raised, by this meaning his own money, he's put in $69.5 million. Bruce Rauner has raised $102.8 million. Not all of that is his. J.B. Pritzker has committed to that, his money all coming from him. He said he's self-funded. Bob, I just wonder on this, I wonder how much of this has to do, this going back to J.B. Pritzker and the offshore, how much this has to also do with the fact that we haven't seen full tax returns from all of the candidates. Would that clear up some questions here?
Oh, I'm sure it would, but you got to remember that you have apparently three wealthy candidates, one on the Republican side, two on the Democratic side. One Kennedy is wealthy, but nowhere, he's not in Pritzker or Rauner territory. And none of them will let you see the their financials. And while there is no law that requires them to do that, it certainly raises a lot of questions about how do they manage their money, and more importantly, I suppose, is what methods of elite tax breaks do they leverage to avoid paying the kind of taxes that you and I pay? And, you know, we see that in various forms in all three of them. Rauner's tax avoidance is so complete that you can see just from the sliver that he's shown us of his tax returns that he doesn't even pay Medicare and Social Security taxes, which is a very small amount of money. But, this is kind of the ethos that, you know, you pay as little as you can. And there's a group of elite tax breaks that the very wealthy can leverage that the rest of us cannot. But these folks want to be. They want to manage your tax resources, and they don't want you to see how they manage to avoid paying taxes. And this goes for Kennedy, too, because he has been very critical of the in Cook County of the very flawed and questionable property tax system in Cook County, yet he has engaged with one of the county's most experienced property tax fixers to lower the assessments on property that he manages.
Right. So taxes are a big issue here. And I wondered if we could get to some of the positions on taxes. Brian, we know that one thing that Governor Rauner has said is that cutting taxes is one of his most important priorities. He said this not just during the campaign, but in his budget address in the State of the State. He's talked about a plan to cut taxes by $1 billion. Brian, was that where that was in the budget he proposed last month, correct?
Yeah, and this is an example of, I think, with any politician, if you're a voter out there, you have to look at not only what they say, but what they do. And this is an example where he has talked a lot about this supposed tax cut that he wants to deliver. And he has even talked about how his budget would, you know, help the process of bringing your taxes down to 3%. Or would bring your taxes down to 3% over 2 years, he even said, shortly before his budget address. But there's no evidence of that in his actual budget presentation. So there's two things. One, he proposes to spend all the extra money that's been brought in by this tax increase, which most people who study the budget in Springfield and are aware of how this stuff works will acknowledge on both sides of the aisle that you cannot possibly manage Illinois' finances right now without some drastic drastic cuts without that extra money from the tax increase. And in fact, his budget plans to spend all that money. In terms of this, you know, what he likes to tout as a billion-dollar tax break, it would be a 0.25 percentage points. So that's a quarter of a percent, taking the tax rate down from 4.95 down to 4.7%, except it's very speculative because it's premised on making some major changes to the pension laws in Illinois, which even if you could get that through a Democratic legislature, which is probably not very inclined to work with the governor right now, it would still be subject to a court challenge. And when we saw a major attempt to change pensions a few years ago, that took almost 2 years to go from legislation being enacted to when it actually finally got through the courts and was ultimately struck down. And, you know, to his credit, he said, you know, this tax cut would only go into place if it survived the court challenges and everything else. But we're talking about years into the future instead of something that could be delivered anytime soon.
When we're talking about taxes, I want to also get to the idea of taxing retirement income. This is something that came up during Wednesday night's Democratic debate, which did get pretty contentious on a lot of issues, and especially in regards to this idea of taxing income. The Pritzker campaign has been arguing that both Chris Kennedy and State Senator Daniel Biss want to tax retirement income. During the debate, there was this moment where Chris Kennedy turned to face J.B. Pritzker. He got him pretty close. He demanded he take down ads that were saying this. Maybe you've heard these ads on television, or you've heard them on the radio, or you've seen them on YouTube. But here's a clip from that debate.
Now, I'm going to tell this to you, JB. You've been running ads saying that I'm in favor of taxing retirement income. It's not true. I posted it on my website. I've gone to forum after forum, Q&A after Q&A. Look at me in the eyes. I want to let you know I'm not for that. Please stop running those lies.
Well, you've got a different position today than you've had during this campaign.
Nope.
Because you, yes, you, several times have said you are open to retirement taxation. And so that's just a fact. If you've changed your position, that's fine. That's good, because I am opposed to retirement
taxation.
So you'll
take those ads down. Is that what you're saying now that you have clarity for me?
Have you changed your position?
Face to face, clarity right now.
Have you changed your position?
I've told you what my position is.
As a result of the ad going up.
That is not what you want in a governor.
So it's almost hard to believe this exchange went on a little longer. Bob, is it clear who's right on this?
Well, yes, it is clear. This is sort of, you know, this is sort of standard operating procedure in politics these days. You, you know, you leave out, you have a sliver of truth, but you leave out the context, and you make a broad sweeping statement. Biss and Kennedy, I believe, have backed is a means-tested taxing of retirement income. And by that, I mean that Illinois is one of the few states with an income tax that exempts all retirement income, all Social Security, all pensions, all 401k IRA income from taxation. Hardly any other states do that. And what they have proposed is saying, okay, we'll set a floor. Anything below that, if you get retirement income like your Social Security check, that's not taxed. But if you're really wealthy and you're getting retirement income, we will tax it. Pritzker has left out the nuance and just accused them of wanting to tax retirement income. And you know, it's an interesting twist, because he is the wealthiest person in the race, and therefore he might be someone who could benefit from that.
I want to go to the Republican side of the primary. We've been hearing an ad that Governor Rauner has been running about State Representative Jeannie Ives. I've heard this nonstop on non-public radio stations, because we do not air political advertising, which is, I'm sure, why many people are tuning to us now more than ever. But Representative Ives is obviously running to the right of the governor on a lot of issues. His campaign has been making a claim about why she's running. They say that she's part of, quote, Mike Madigan's corrupt insider machine. Let's hear a little bit of that campaign ad.
Who's really behind Jeannie Ives' campaign for governor? Mike Madigan's corrupt insider machine. They've bankrolled her campaign with thousands in shady labor union cash, turning Ives into another Madigan lackey.
He's picking on Mike Madigan again. He's picking on Mike Madigan again.
Jeannie Ives, she can't serve you because she already serves him.
Oh, Brian, these campaign ads with that music. Is there any truth in that ad at all?
I think if anyone has covered Jeannie Ives, as I have for a number of years, would find that utterly ridiculous. She is one of the most conservative legislators. She talked about when she, in the past, about how, you know, she doesn't measure her achievements in Springfield based on bills she's passed. She measures her achievements based on what she's helped block and voted against. And to say that she is in any way a lackey of Madigan is ridiculous. And that statement that she did say, where, you know, you're picking on him, she was criticizing Rauner for seeming to be fixated on Speaker Madigan. You know, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, you know, invoked Moby Dick a couple of years ago for his fixation with the Speaker. And that's all the governor really talks about. And she was saying, look, you have to figure out a way to work with him. And she has, when she said, you know, I've had bills that he has, you know, been able to convince him to support, and then I've worked with him. The majority of the time she opposes things that he and the Democrats are doing.
Brian, really quickly, we're just less than 30 seconds left here, but as people, if you're a voter who wants to have information, what's your advice to people seeing all of these ads and campaign speeches?
Seek out voices that, you know, the thing that I like to do is, you know, find a columnist that you seem to agree with, maybe see what they're saying about it, pick an editorial board, or, you know, go to a nonpartisan fact-checking website like the
PolitiFact Illinois.
Exactly.
Right. And that's where Bob Sector works. PolitiFact Illinois is now housed at the Better Government Association. We'll tweet out all of their reporting on this. I want to thank Bob Sector He's the director of investigations with the BGA, IPR's Brian Mackey. Gentlemen, thanks for being with me.
Good to talk to you.
No problem. Good to be here.
For tuning in to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. So far, reports are indicating a pretty healthy voter turnout in this midterm year. Our partner station WGLT reported over the weekend that in Bloomington's McLean County, as of Friday morning, nearly 2,200 voters had cast early ballots. By the way, according to that same WGLT report, almost 60% of the ballots polled were Democratic ones. That compares to just 13.5% in 2014. If you haven't voted already, we're going to be checking in a few minutes with a voting rights lawyer so you're clear on what your rights are. If you have any questions or comments about that, you can give us a call. Our phone number is 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. You can also tweet to 21STShow. But first, let's start with Peoria County's Board of Election Commissioners Executive Director Tom Bride. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the 21st.
Thank you.
How's it looking so far in Peoria County, Tom? What are you seeing with your early voting?
Our early voting is up. We're probably up between 35% and 40% from where we were in 2014, which was a midterm election. So we're up pretty significantly from where we were then, and our vote by mail is up too. The vote by mail isn't quite as surprising because that seems to be growing every year, but the vote by mail and the early voting are both up.
And Tom, I wonder if you do find the early voting tally surprising. I wonder how much of this is also just a trend of people who, if we're seeing, and I don't know if this is different for midterms versus a presidential year, people like to vote early. It's just more convenient. Is that kind of a trend that we've been seeing for some time?
We've actually had a pretty significant early voting since going all the way back to it started in 2006 in Peoria County. We promoted a dramatic, really healthy promotion of it in 2006 and 8 and 10. So we've always seen a pretty healthy early voting. So the trend is a little bit there, but when I look at this year compared to 2014 and compared like elections, 35% is a pretty good sized growth. I mean, you might trickle up a little bit, and actually, the last couple of elections, we've almost seen early voting flat with an increase in vote by mail.
Oh, so this really is a big change for you all then.
It is. What we've been seeing is more people voting before Election Day, but the early voting has kind of plateaued a little bit. It's still up a little, but not dramatically, and then the vote by mail has increased.
And do you have a sense of how many people are pulling Democratic versus Democrat versus GOP ballots? Because obviously you have to pick one for the primary.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The last time I looked, which was I think last Friday morning, we were about 2-1 Democratic over Republican, and that's unusual too.
I was going to say that's pretty unusual for Peoria County, isn't it?
Yeah, we tend to be we're close to a 50-50, but what we've seen in the past, especially in a big election, a presidential, we're close to 50-50, but in a midterm election, we'd be a little stronger on the Republican side, especially in a primary. So yeah, that's pretty significant. I think it's obvious that the top of the ballot in Illinois is pushing turnout. We don't have a tremendous amount. We don't have any local state legislative races on this ballot. We have just a handful of questions. It really is all at the state level.
Right, people who are voting for governor, for attorney general.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Tom, this is the first election since automatic voter registration became law last year. Has that changed anything about how you're going about this election?
We haven't seen much of a spike on the automatic voter registration. We have seen we've seen cleaner rolls, I think, because of the state joining the ERIC program, which is the Electronic Registration Information Center. I think I'm pronouncing that right. I've been calling it ERIC for a couple of years. So
I was going to say, I just know it as ERIC as well. So
yeah, but we've seen a significant impact on us locally in the last couple of rounds with that. But we haven't seen a lot yet on the automatic voter registration, an impact yet.
And a reminder for folks who are coming out in Peoria County tomorrow. Can you remind us what your rules are around poll watchers and campaigning around poll sites and things like that?
Yeah, at any of the polling locations, we'll have a sign that you have to be 100 feet away from the polling place to be campaigning or electioneering. And so we have a sign that's set up 100 feet away. So if you're setting up signs or if you're campaigning, you have to be beyond that sign. Poll watchers they'll have to get credentials either from us at the Peoria Election Commission, or they can also you can get poll watcher credentials from the State Board of Election. So anybody who's coming in to watch in the polls has to have poll watcher credentials.
And is it too late? I imagine you've already issued those. Is it too late to do that now?
No, you could still come into our office and get them. I'm not positive what happens at the state level. They may email them to you, I don't know, but you could still come, and it's not uncommon to have somebody come in actually on election day, a candidate or a party, and pick up some more. So
otherwise, you're all ready for tomorrow?
Yeah, our equipment is being delivered today. We still have voting going on in our office, but our equipment is being delivered today. We're working with judges. There's always some last minute cancellations, people are sick or some things like that, so We're pretty busy in the office getting ready, but by late afternoon, early evening, most of the equipment will be set up in the polling places, and we'll be ready for tomorrow.
Do you still need volunteers? It sounds like for tomorrow, do you need more election judges?
My standard answer is we can always use more election judges. I mean, we tend to get everybody staffed up, but we're always losing judges at the last minute. I mean, people get sick or something happens. So we can always use judges. We typically have less lists of substitute judges, and we start to work front down from that. But we can always use more judges.
That's Tom Bride. He's executive director of Peoria County's Board of Election Commissioners. Tom, I know you're really busy. Thanks for taking the time to speak with us. Do you have a few minutes to hold on while we continue this conversation?
Sure.
I wanted to bring someone else into the conversation as well. Aimee Gandhi is the director of Voting Rights and Civic Empowerment for the Chicago Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. Hi, Aimee. Welcome back to the 21st.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Can you remind us what the role is of an election judge, as Tom was just telling us about them?
Election judges are paid personnel working for local election jurisdictions across Illinois to give voters their ballots to help them register, because we have Election Day registration all over the state, and to answer any questions that voters might have. We really appreciate working in partnership with election judges. Many of them do a great job. All of them work extremely hard and have long hours, so we truly appreciate that. And then our role as a nonpartisan civic organization is to be watching at the polls, be helpful wherever we can. We also hear voters' questions over a hotline. We have 866-OUR-VOTE, and we even get some occasional calls from election judges, too, calling us when they're trying to refine their understanding of election law and voting rights.
So 866-OUR-VOTE is your hotline. What is that for?
We welcome anyone to call us. Again, it's 866-OUR-VOTE, and we will be open live tomorrow from 5:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., hearing from voters from all across Illinois who have any kind of questions relating to registration or voting. Sometimes people call us with problems, and they call us to detail bad experiences that they've had and because they need immediate help from our attorneys, and other times they have simple questions that are very resolvable and that can be answered. We're happy to hear from anyone no matter what their issue might be, so that we can assist all eligible voters to make their voices heard.
And that's, I know you're based in Chicago. This is a statewide hotline. People can call anywhere throughout the state. Have you had any reports so far of people reporting problems to you with early voting?
People have already been calling us even before Election Day itself. Many people have been reporting to us when, for example, they need assistance at the polling place. For example, a person with a disability or with limited English proficiency who's still eligible to vote but who needs some help doing so. They may be trying to get assistance from election judges or from others, so we walk them through knowing that they have the right to get help and vote. We also have been hearing from some voters who were improperly asked for ID at the polls. And in Illinois, in most cases, we shouldn't have to show a photo ID when we go to vote. There may be an instance if we're using Election Day registration or for some other reason in a few situations, we may have to show an ID. But usually voters shouldn't need a photo ID in order to vote. But nonetheless, in early voting, some voters have been asked for that. So we make sure that they know their rights, that they shouldn't need an ID in that situation. Because it is a very heated campaign season, as you all have been discussing on this show, there has also been electioneering or campaigning issues at some locations in the Illinois polls. As Executive Director Bride mentioned, this should be occurring 100 feet or more outside the polling place. And, you know, the reason is that voters have the right to make their choice without being improperly pressured by candidates or campaigns. And we really want to stand by voters in exercising that right, and happy to help however we can.
Tom, can you remind us, can you walk us through how it works in Peoria County for someone to go in to vote? As I'm saying, you don't need a photo ID. You just walk in and you make sure you're registered. And then I imagine there's a signature check. Is that how it works in Peoria County?
Yeah, you would come in and what we've worked with judges and trained the judges, and she's right. They work very, very hard, and it gets more and more complicated each election for them. The voter will come up. They will state their name and their address. In our situation, we have electronic poll books. The poll book, the judge there will look their name and their address up. If it matches, they print a label that goes onto their application to vote. They would sign the application to vote, and then there's two judges, one from each major party that check the signature, make sure that it matches. There's a pre-printed signature on the label that goes on the application, and they would verify the signature from that. And then if as long as the signature matches, then they're allowed to vote.
And, I mean, what's the process also if someone comes in? Illinois also has same-day voter registration. So if people might be listening thinking, I haven't registered, what would be the process there, Ami?
We definitely encourage people to still come out and register and vote, even if they're not registered yet or even if they need to update their registration. And they can do so at locations all across the state. Every single county has Election Day registration, and in many of our county's Election Day registration will be available at every single polling place. If people across Illinois have specific questions about where is Election Day registration available in my county, we have all of those lists available on our website, or people can call us at 866-OUR-VOTE anytime. We can walk them through that. And if they're using Election Day registration, either because they're a new voter or because they want to update their registration, that is a situation where they will need to bring in ID, and they can bring in two pieces of ID, one containing their current address. And there are lots of different options available for people. We hear from voters frequently that they're surprised how many different options are available of what kind of ID they can bring in, even including a utility bill, for example, or other kinds of documentation. And that's something we can help walk voters through those lists of what they can bring in to make the process a little easier so that they have a great plan in place and feel good about it before they even head to the polls tomorrow.
And what about if you're 17? There's a reminder that if you're 18 by November, you can also vote tomorrow. Amia, how are you getting the word out to our youngest residents?
That's right. That's a great opportunity we have here in Illinois for our young voters who will be 18 by the time of the general election. And we really appreciate the great work from partner nonpartisan organizations such as Chicago Votes, who work with young voters, including young voters of color and other people who are new to our system of participating in our democracy. And so we really appreciate that, especially those who work most closely with youth are getting the word out about this right to vote at 17 in the primary if you will be 18 by the November election.
So if you're 18 by Election Day, you can also vote tomorrow. Amia, I wanted to just go back to what you said about disability access and language proficiency. Can you very quickly just explain to everyone what their rights are in terms of disability and language access for ballots?
Absolutely. Anyone who's eligible to vote because they're a U.S. citizen, they're 18 and above or 17 and above and will be 18 by the November election, anyone who's eligible to vote is able to get assistance in doing so. That assistance could come from an election judge. It could come from a friend or family member, many different categories of people. If a person doesn't have assistance lined up, they should ask their election judge at their polling place or ask the local election jurisdiction for help. And there are typically forms that people will need to fill out to make sure that that assistance is documented, where a voter and the person assisting have to sign off that the person assisting is simply helping the voter mark their ballot, not trying to influence the voter one way or another about how to vote, but just simply helping them know what is on the ballot and marking it if the person has a physical disability or limitation from marking it themselves. And so it's a good process when it works well and when voters are aware that they are able to get help. And we hope that all voters who need it take advantage of that assistance.
You know, we just have about a minute left, but I wanted to ask you one quick last question. There was actually the first ever voting that took place inside the Cook County Jail, Amia, a couple weeks ago. And I think many people think if you have a past criminal record, you're not eligible to vote. Can you explain the laws around that?
Absolutely. So individuals in jail and pretrial detention who have not been convicted of a crime are in many instances, in the overwhelming number of cases, eligible to vote. And our organization and others did participate in a voter access project at Cook County Jail last Saturday, the Saturday before. Hundreds of voters were able to exercise their right to vote. And also individuals who have finished incarceration, who might have had a previous felony conviction but now are done serving their sentence, they served their time, they are eligible to get back on the rolls as well. And we can assist them with that, or they can use an Election Day registration. And so there are a huge number of people in Illinois who are eligible to vote, may not know that they have that right. And we hope that all eligible voters can participate in this March 20th primary.
For information, as Amia said, we'll tweet out all of the information to the nonpartisan Chicago Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. I know you're very busy tomorrow, as is Tom Bride, Executive Director of Peoria County's Board of Election Commissioners. Thank you both for taking the time to speak with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The 21st is made possible by the Center for Advanced Studies MillerCom 18 Lecture Series presenting Toward a Manifesto for Diverse Psychological Science, March 26th to 4 p.m. at Beckman Institute. Professor of Psychology Enrique Neblett will discuss incorporating diversity and the human experience into psychological science. cas.illinois.edu.
Thanks for listening to The 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. So yes, the primary election is tomorrow. Don't forget, you need to go out and vote if you haven't already. Maybe you haven't been paying attention at all to the governor's race. You know what? That's okay, because for the next 15 minutes, I am going to ask you to pay attention. We're going to bring you the voices of seven of the candidates who are running to tell you why you should vote for them in their own words. That's with the exception of Governor Rauner, who didn't accept our invitation. All other seven candidates did come on the 21st to speak with me. We've got the full interviews at 21stshow.org if you want to listen to them more in depth. They were 15 minutes each, but if you just have 15 minutes now, tune in here. First up, J.B. Pritzker. J.B. Pritzker, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. We have real challenges in the state of Illinois. There are financial challenges and otherwise. The governor needs to introduce a balanced budget, and that's what I intend to do. The best way for us to do that, of course, is determine what our priorities are. Mine, of course, are focusing on making sure every child gets a quality education in the state of Illinois, making sure that we expand health care to make it universal in Illinois, and then we've got to create jobs here. We also have to reduce gun violence on our streets in not just the city of Chicago, but also Peoria, Carbondale, Rockford, all across the state. I believe that a progressive income tax is vitally important for making sure that we pay for the education system in our state. We have enormous changes that we need to make in our criminal justice system, and we need to focus on economic development and opportunity in order to reduce the amount of incarceration that we have in the state. I am in favor of the Trust Act, which got passed here last year. I believe strongly that we need to protect our immigrants, even undocumented immigrants, especially our DACA recipients, Dreamers. My own family came here as refugees and would have been killed if they had not been allowed to come to the United States and allowed to live in the state of Illinois in Chicago. And I really believe to my core, in my heart, that immigrants are a vital part of the state of Illinois.
Representative Ives, welcome to the 21st.
Well, thank you for having me on. I promise to, first of all, submit a balanced budget that makes sure that we spend within our means and not a dime more. And that is something that Governor Rauner failed to do. Listeners should be very wary, because all the Democrats are asking for is more taxes to spend more money. Anybody who says, well, we're gonna, you know, cut a few jobs here or better price on paper is kidding themselves if they think they can balance their budget doing that way. Property taxes are a huge issue. It's a bigger problem than our state income taxes, quite frankly, because right now it's confiscatory. The South Suburban Cook area has been decimated by high tax rates, and people are losing their homes. Government cannot afford to continue along the same path because their residents are leaving. So property taxes don't need to be frozen at the highest levels. They need to be lowered substantially over time. Governor Rauner signed his signature on SB 31, which made us a sanctuary state. He made us all less safe. We can now not get justice when criminal illegal aliens commit crimes in the state of Illinois. They can post off of a detainer, leave the system, and escape across Mexico. I understand that the desperation of Illinois taxpayers, and I'm the only one with the right ideas to move the state forward.
Senator Biss, welcome back to the 21st.
It's great to be back, Nyla. Here in Illinois, the middle class and the working poor are being nickeled and dimed because the system doesn't ask enough of the wealthy, and I'm running for governor to change that. The bar that we ought to set for our governor isn't just have a budget, but have a budget that works. We have a system in Illinois that has been really biased in favor of the very wealthy, biased in favor of big corporations, has left middle-class families like mine and the working poor further and further behind. And so we need not only a budget, but a budget with a fair tax system, a budget that does not overburden the middle class and the working poor, a budget that invests in schools in every zip code, not just a few parts of Illinois, a budget that allows access to universal health care, and a budget that invests in child care and family leave. If we do that right, we'll have a state that works for the rest of us. That's what I believe in. That's what my campaign is about, and that's what I've been fighting for in the legislature. There are incredible numbers of dollars that are cycled through the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, and we don't tax them at all. When you go buy a screwdriver at the hardware store, you pay 6.25% sales tax to the state, but when a $100 million trade is done at the Board of Trade, there is not a nickel of tax paid, and that just doesn't make sense. Listen, Nyla, the economy has moved, the economy has changed, the financial sector has ballooned, that's where the money is, and because we don't touch those dollars, we don't have a state government that can afford to invest in people without overburdening the middle class and the poor. And this question of taxing financial transactions is a profound difference in the race, where the other candidates say they're against it. They say that it's impractical. And what I would say is, if we're not going to build a tax system that works for the modern economy, we're not going to have a state that works for a modern society. Our state government needs to stand with immigrants. Our state government needs to stand with our people and not target our people by collaborating with the federal government.
Chris Kennedy, welcome to the 21st.
Great to be on the show. Thank you. I've spent my entire life in the anti-poverty world trying to help the very people that have been so damaged by Bruce Rauner's leadership. The state of Illinois has a shrinking economy, and yet at the same time, we have rising household income, not because anybody's making more money, not because paychecks have gone up, but because we've pushed the poor out of our state. Anybody with a sick child, a disabled brother or sister, elderly parents who needed home health care knew that they needed to leave Illinois in order to make sure they had access to that. And when the poor left, it made the rest of us who stayed behind look wealthier. That's a terrible, terrible fact, a violation of anything that we believe in if we have a, well, moral compass. And I don't think that the current governor has one. More important than anything else is the idea that we need to transition away from a reliance on property taxes to a reliance on a graduated progressive income tax, allowing the wealthiest among us to pay their fair share. And if we give them a growing economy, if we reinvest in our state, I think they'll be just fine with that. We've laid out a pretty detailed anti-violence program, which is available on the Kennedy for Illinois website. And there are lots of ways that we can reduce the number of illegal guns in our state. Having said that, our fundamental belief is that opportunity is the enemy of violence, and economic oppression is its partner in crime. If we give people opportunity, then, I mean, real opportunity, they can move away from committing crimes of survival. I don't want to die alone, and I'm worried because the next generation of kids in Illinois are leaving the state.
Superintendent Dibert, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you very much for having me. I think the reason that voters should trust me is because I understand how to govern, and I understand the process that takes place on a calendar year. And I continue to campaign and try to explain that to constituents. The polarization in the state has got to relax. We've worked to create divisions between Chicago and the rest of the state. There's been efforts of disparity that have been discussed. And the first and foremost thing I think that you need to have as a governor is a person who's going to come in with the willingness to try to get along with people. I think that's what's not happening at this time, is that I have no personal agenda but to make Illinois a better place and to pay its bills, submit a manageable budget, and to move Illinois out of the debt that we currently experience and bring to Springfield a new vision of open-mindedness and roll up our sleeves to tackle some of the really tough problems that are there. And it's going to take a group effort, not just the governor, to get this done. Property taxes are an unfair way to fund schools because not everyone is blessed with the same equalized assessed valuation by which the money is derived from. I have a deep concern about the state of Illinois and about its reputation and about its future. And I believe as governor, I can do several things. I have a solid plan in which to pay our bills and to move Illinois to more solid financial base, and then do something that Illinois just needs to do so bad, and that's develop a marketing plan for the good and the quality of this state.
T.O. Hardiman, welcome to the 21st.
I'm glad to be here. Well, I would like to be governor because I've always been in service. I've always worked in a leadership capacity. I've traveled the state. I've met with the farmers, the veterans, the senior citizens. I've met with the college students. I've met with people with disabilities. I've met with people all across the state of Illinois, the good working class people, and people are hurting in Illinois. And I would like to offer them some sense of hope with T.O. Hardiman becoming the governor, because it would be history in the making, because I'm the only minority running for governor in the state of Illinois. My main passion for running is to make sure that we take care of the poor, working class, and middle class people here in Illinois. And I have a proven track record in regards to leadership position, but I've always placed the people first. There's no way in the world that T.O. Hardiman and Patricia Avery would ever consider taxing retirement income. No way. And as your governor, I plan to attract people to come back to Illinois by making Illinois one of the safest states in the United States, and actually with more job creation as well. I just want to put that out there, because job creation is really number one on our agenda. If the 99.9% of the working class people support T.O. Hardiman, we can win this election by a landslide. That's why I want to be governor, because I'm tired of seeing these big-time, big-money people stepping on the poor people here in Illinois.
Dr. Marshall, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I work at Oak Forest Hospital. That's one of the Cook County hospitals in Southern Cook County. And we take care of the poorest of the poor and the sickest of the sick. So I see these people every day. I'm the only one that's opposed to a graduated income tax, and I'm also opposed to any further increase in the flat tax. I mean, 4.9% is high enough. We just had a raise, and we have to see how that increase is going to work out first before we propose any more. What I want to do is find new sources of income, legalizing marijuana throughout the entire state. That will create a whole new industry. We do need pension reform. The pensions are more than underfunded. They're actually overpromised. We have over 100,000 people who have pensions over $50,000. I've proposed a radical solution. The state of Illinois, as we know now, would be dissolved. One unified state would no longer exist politically. The Constitution, and including the clause about pensions, would be dissolved. Our state would be divided up into three brand new states. Chicago would be number one. The suburbs around Chicago would be number two, and everything south of Route 80 would be its own state with a new governor, a new constitution, and then the pensions would be divided up three ways, but they would be renegotiable. You could renegotiate them. So I think all three parts of the state would benefit from my plan.
primary is tomorrow night. I'll be hosting special coverage. That's all the time we have for today. Don't forget to go vote tomorrow. Thanks for listening. I'm Nyla Boudou.